Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. You know, it's true. Many feel that sex is a lot like pizza. No matter how bad it may be, it's still pretty good. However, those who've encountered a lackluster sex life know that lack of passion can kill a relationship. Sexual communication is at the core. And you know what? Silence is the true enemy of sexual pleasure. So here to help once again is my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Ava Cadell. Welcome back, Dr. Ava. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Dr. Diana. It's always a pleasure because I just love you. And we're friends and colleagues, which makes it even more precious.
It really does, and the feelings are very mutual. We've known each other for about 20 years, and it's been fun and meaningful too. And you know, that's, I always say, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. But you got to have the meaning in there too. So I really value our relationship very much. So you're going to do another sexpert panel on June 23rd, and I was on your panel in February, and you're doing the panel every month, I think, but tell us about the next one coming up, and it has to do with our topic today. So tell us about the Sexpert panel.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a panel on something very specific, and then I get the best experts who are superstars in that arena. And of course, you, Dr. Diana, were on my COVID Love and Sex panel talking about your book and all the wonderful advice that you had for couples who were challenged during COVID. And the next one that I'm doing is actually about intimate communication before, during, and after sex. And so I've got some great panelists, including Dr. Emily Morse, who has a masterclass on communication and sex. And then we have another dear mutual friend of ours, Dr. Hernando Chavez, and he's amazing. You know, he's an MFT, he's a sex therapist, he's a professor at Pepperdine University in Malibu. He's a global speaker, and he's just an awesome guy. And then we have Dr. Megan Stubbs. She is a friend as well and somewhat of a protege. She has a brand new book out. And Dr. Sarah Nassar-Sarday, I think I said that right. She's a fantastic sex therapist as well. And then we have Carol and David from the Sexy Lifestyle, just to add some juicy, you know, information in there on how swingers actually communicate before, during, and after sex.
And yes, and when
I forgot one more panelist, Dr. Shannon Chavez. She's fabulous, and she's very, very much in the media right now. She's an incredible sex therapist, and I just saw an article about her, I think it was in the New York Times, and she and her husband sleep in separate beds in the same room, but she says that is better for their sex life.
Yes, and she probably expands on that. So that's good. I think Emily Morse, the first one you mentioned, is a pretty amazing woman. Her show, Sex with Emily, her podcast, is listened to by millions of people, and she's going to do this masterclass. So that's yeah. Let's talk, because I have learned from Dr. Emily. And she's pretty amazing, and you influenced her some time ago.
I did. I met her when she was just beginning her journey. And mm-hmm. I said to her, I said, you must get a doctorate, you know, about human sexuality, because you've got such a great personality and look. And she had met Dr. Drew Pinsky, and she was just about thinking whether she should do Loveline with him or not. And, of course, she did Loveline with him for 4 years, and that propelled her career. But she started it when she wasn't a doctor. And then as soon as she got her doctorate, she started getting more endorsements and more shows. And she also got her own show, as you said, Sex with Emily. And it's the longest running podcast. It's on Sirius Radio. And she's reached millions of people. And if you want to really learn more about her, she was just featured in Forbes magazine and the New York Times. So she's considered one of the greatest entrepreneurs right now in our field.
Yeah, she's an impressive woman. And of course, you gave her advice that I got quite a few years ago, and that is get your doctorate. You have much more credibility. And I did that 22 years ago. And it when you have this doctor in front of your name, as you do, as I do, it somehow you have a little more credibility. And of course, we are constantly learning, and doing media work is a wonderful way to expand our learning, because we do our homework preparing for our guests, like I've done for you, but also people that I haven't known as well. By the way, Hernando Chavez was on my show about a month ago, and he was really, really good, and he's due to be back again. So
I just love him, and I've mentored Hernando in different ways. Like, I really mentored him as a global speaker. I took him to China with me, where the Chinese women went crazy for him.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also
got
him to be my co-host for Penthouse Sex Academy Instructional Series. So he was a fabulous co-host, and he is, you know, again, one of the busiest male sex therapists that I know. And everybody just loves him because he's got this warm and fuzzy personality. But he's also got the academic knowledge to share.
He really does. He really does. He's an amazing man. Well, let's give our listeners a preview of communication before, during, and after sex. And because we know that all relationships take work, so it really makes sense that the most important relationship in your life should require the most work and commitment. And connecting in your relationship requires good communication. That's at the core. That's at the core.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want to, should we talk
sure.
a little, should we go get into this a little bit? Because
yeah, absolutely. So
yeah.
The number one question that I'm always asked is, how do you communicate what you want sexually?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I use an analogy. I will tell my clients, what do you feel very confident in your life asking for? But for me, it's looking at a menu in a restaurant. I feel very confident asking for my steak cooked medium well, because I would not want a good piece of meat being spoiled by not asking to have it the way I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I think that's an analogy. I've had other people say, oh, you know, I feel confident shopping in the supermarket and asking for what I want. And other people feel confident, you know, at PTA meetings. I mean, we all have some aspect of our lives where we feel confident. So if you can do it in one aspect of your life, then you can do it in your sex life as well. Because really, let's face it, if you can think it, you can say it. What do you think about that?
I think that's right. If you can think it, you can say it. And sometimes that requires some bravery, because usually women are a little bit better about communicating their feelings and desires and than men are. That's a stereotype, but it's generally true. I mean, you know, you hear the jokes about men kind of communicating with monosyllabic syllables or grunts, and of course that's a stereotype that isn't, it has some truth for some men, but not a lot. So yeah, we really need to take a chance and talk about things that really matter to us. You know, it can feel like a risk to say something like something sexual I've always wanted to try is, or, but to get into it slowly before you do that. So let's talk about how you do that. How do you begin the sexual communication when you're not so confident about expressing your needs and desires? And of course, some women are not so confident about it because they don't even know themselves. They don't know their bodies well, but that's perhaps another show. So communicating with your partner.
Right. And then, you know, there's a lot of fear. So right. I usually say to my client, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? It's not mm-hmm. the end of the world and you're not going to die. And then they usually laugh and say, well, that's true. So I recommend praising your lover first on something that they do that you do enjoy, whether mm-hmm. you're kissing them or whether you like the way they caress a certain part of your body. So praise them first and just say, for example, you know, I love it when you kiss me before we make love. Now, if you want your lover to spend more time with foreplay, that's when you ask with an I, not a you. So you never want to blame, you never, you know, seduce me by taking my clothes off first before intercourse. That's a no-no. But if you say, I love it when you kiss me first, and what I would love as well is if you slowly undress me and you kiss my body all the way from my head to my toes. And that can be from a woman to a man, from a man to a woman, from man to man, woman to woman. It can be for any orientation. And it's positive. And you're giving them direction in a very respectful manner, because that's important during lovemaking. You want to ask permission. You want to get consent. And you want to be on the same page energetically and sexually.
You know, a lot of men are communicating through actions. If we look at the love languages, many men will come out they'll come out where their strongest love language is acts of service. And so you want to pay attention to the man's actions. And you said something very good, Ava, about complimenting. And you need to be sure and compliment a man if he has done something that you like sexually. But for a lot of men, actions do speak louder than words, and so the undertone of some of these actions that for a lot of men is, I care about you and I want to take care of you, and so they'll do lots of wonderful things like filling your car up with gas when he's out. If he's late, he remembers your favorite takeout dish and brings it home. So all of these things, acts of service, may be his main love language. And so I think it's important for the woman, if this is true, to take note of his actions.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. Now, you talked about love languages, which mm-hmm. is a definite way of identifying, you know, what style we like to have love and passion expressed. But what about left and right-brained people? You know, a left-brained person likes to get to the point, and a right-brained person likes to tell a story. So that's very important to understand whether your partner is left or right-brained predominantly. And so I teach, you know, seminars on this. So, for example, a left-brained lover might say, I want you now. Whereas mm-hmm. a right-brained mm-hmm. might say, I want to have a bubble bath, a sensual massage, and seduction, feeding each other, and then passionate lovemaking. So mm-hmm. it's very mm-hmm. different. So I also recommend that you learn to talk to your partner in their favorite, you know, brain hemisphere language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That then they can hear you, because yes, by learning your partner's language, you'll have better communication. There's just no question about it, and sometimes it's a good idea to take a lesson from some guys, less is more style of talking, because a lot of guys get overwhelmed if the woman goes on and on and on and on, and you know, you spoke about your brain research, and you've written a book about it, but women do have more words, and a lot of men will just tune out, and they're afraid of having communication because the woman just will go on for an hour. So I always advise my clients to structure their conversation and to keep it. You can if you're dealing with a conflict, whether it's about your in general or especially now we're talking about sexual communication, which is so hard for a lot of people, you need to keep it to 15 or 20 minutes. And you can do that. If you take turns, one person has, in my book, Love in the Time of Corona, I talk about the talking stick. One person's holding the talking stick, and when that person is talking, the other person is quietly listening. And then before the person talking relinquishes the talking stick, the other person has to parrot back what they heard.
Yes.
And if that is useful, then they can continue on. But the message sent, let's face it, the message sent is not always the message received. And so we need to do that. But haven't you found that a lot of men just, like, begin to tune out if the woman's just going on and on and on and on?
I mean, sometimes people have selective hearing.
Selective hearing, that's true.
They want to hear. So, you know, when it comes to intimate communication, sometimes less words are better, especially during sex. I think what we've been talking about right now is before sex. You know,
yes, we are talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, but during sex, a lot of people like to hear explicit erotic talk. And in my seminars, I often say there are two very powerful words. They're the most powerful words during sex. Can you guess what they are? And I hear all kinds of hilarious notions from the audience, but I'm sure you can guess what they are, Dr. Diana.
During sex,
yeah.
The two most powerful words.
Yes.
I would say, keep doing it. It feels great.
One word. They're both just one word.
One word.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
It's very personal. One of the words is very personal to your partner. It's their name.
Oh, their name, their sure.
Name. Yeah.
Their name is so, name. Yes, that makes it so,
and then
really gets your attention. Use their name, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and then the lines you said before are fabulous, but when you personalize it, it makes them feel so desirable. And then the other word that's very powerful is yes. You can't say yes enough. Yes, yes, yes. Very,
that's
very
true.
Powerful.
That's very true.
Yeah, so those to me are the most positive words. And they're not even swear words. They're not raunchy, naughty, dirty words. So everybody can say those two words.
That is really true. That is very true. And I think that talking during sex can also help keep you in the moment. And many, many women have trouble with multitasking. Our brains, our female brains, have a bigger corpus callosum, the connecting tissue between the right and left hemispheres. So we were probably designed, God or nature designed us to multitask, because if we're having sex, we might, and if we have a baby, well, we need to hear the baby crying if we're having sex. But so many women who don't even have babies anymore still are multitasking. Usually the undercurrent of that is that a part of them doesn't really want to be there. But being present, being mindful, staying in the moment, if you get off track, see a stop sign in front of yourself, or and just stop and come back to center. Or I sometimes advise clients to see a conveyor belt, just taking all of those extraneous thoughts out of your head and coming back to the sensations that you're feeling. So, but communicating in the moment, saying how something feels, can really, and doing it with talk, talk and touch, doing it with the touch can be very powerful and can deepen the relationship.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And by the way, you can also guide your lover and request they do something specific during sex. You know, you can say during sex, I want you to kiss me here, lick me there, touch here, you know, or let's use this sex toy together so we can come together. We can have an orgasm together. So you can be very specific, but make sure that you say it not as a request, because then you're asking, and then somebody might say no. So you don't want to take that risk, and you don't want to demand it either, because then that's a turnoff to some people, not to everyone. So you want to communicate it as a statement. You want to state your desire. You don't demand, you don't request, but you state it. There's three very different ways of communicating. Do you agree?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And sometimes it's helpful, rather than communicating, to show and not tell. Show, don't tell. So I'm thinking that if you want more foreplay, and so many women do, the woman can murmur where he should stroke, lick, or suck her body. And I guess if the woman wants a new position, she can redirect the action by moving her body into position. And he'll be thrilled that you're taking the lead and happy to comply with such sexy demands. You know, what men often want, and a small study showed this, that the two top things that they wanted in a female lover was enthusiasm and a woman who would initiate more. Now, when men watch porn, there's plenty of enthusiasm, and we all know how most of the scenes will end. but men like the enthusiasm of a woman. Well, that may take a little work for the woman, but if she can do it, and then if she can initiate sex, men just love that. Men just love that. But don't you agree? Enthusiasm helps a lot when you're trying to communicate and showing.
It's more important than technique. But I love that you put in body language here, because you're absolutely right. And one tip that I also give is to move your lover's hand exactly where you want it. And then, you know, then sometimes your lover might not know that you have a major erogenous zone under your armpits. I mean, unless you...
I know. That is and that is such fun to explore. The armpits.
Right.
There are so many erogenous zones in our body, and that's why the sensate focus or full body caressing exercises can be just so wonderful, because we can discover all of these possible erogenous zones. And it, a lot of people kind of get stuck between the legs, where there's this feast that's going, this possible feast all over the body. And so, or going too soon for the genitals. Actually, Masters and Johnson, Virginia Johnson was the one who came up with the term sensate focus, because in all of their research in the late 50s and early 60s, they discovered just that, that too many people were too fast to go straight for the genitals. And, you know, that most women need 15 or 20 minutes for their uteruses. If they have a uterus, the uterus needs to lift up from the top of the cervix and move out of the way. And if she hasn't been warmed up 15 or 20 minutes at least, oftentimes the uterus hasn't moved, and then during intercourse, the penis hits the cervix and then the uterus, and it's painful. So we need lots of foreplay, and women need to communicate about why they need more foreplay and do it in a way that is comfortable for him to hear. I think what you said about keeping it positive and don't compliment, I mean, do compliment and don't criticize, and doing the body language, all of these are ways to make communication easier.
So this, and that's interesting. I suddenly, something came into my mind that we've never discussed before, and that's, you know, identity. People are definitely choosing to change the words, you know, that describe their sexuality. I recently saw an article that singer Demi Lovato said that now she identifies as a non-binary, and she's had a lot of healing and self-reflective work. So I think it's important to talk about pronouns. You know, we never used to think about pronouns 5 years ago even. But now there's a lot of people who want to be identified with very specific pronouns. Not everybody is just a she or a he. So what do you think about that now, the importance of this and the knowledge that people need to know about, well, asking somebody, you know, what is your pronoun? How would you like to be addressed? What do you think about that?
I think that for many it's very confusing, especially for those of us who are, well, let's just say over 50. I think it's even could even be younger than that. Because as you said, we, you know, in the past, we just thought about he and she, and we didn't worry about all of these other possibilities. But it is true that many people are identifying as sexually non-binary. Isn't that the term you just used for Demi Moore?
Yes.
So we need to be respectful of that. But I do think that for some older people, it's just confusing.
Not Demi Moore. Demi Lovato, the singer.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I heard Demi.
Oh, no, that's okay. But no, definitely not Demi Moore.
You know what? We just showed a very good example of the importance of clarification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I didn't quite hear it right. I went right to Demi Moore. It shows my age again because it's an older reference. And it wasn't. It was Demi Lovato. Yes, I have heard of her saying that she's... But I think...
And this is something that Dr. Hernando specializes in as well. He really is going to be talking about the communication, in the BDSM and the non-monogamy communities. And he's so good at this. And, I want to ask him what area of communication he would like to see with sex and dating and relationships, and especially when it comes to sexually transmitted diseases. We have to have transparent pleasure conversations about it because there's still a lot of stigma. You know, for example, people who have herpes, they need to tell a new partner that they have herpes. But how do you do that without being embarrassed, without taking the risk of rejection? You know, these are very difficult communication skills that nobody teaches us.
You know, that's so true. I'm really glad you brought this up, and for sure I'm going to listen to the panel on June 23rd. And Hernando is going to be on my show again, part two. And so I thank you for that. I'm going to explore that a little bit more with him, that area, because he is good at that. He has so many people in his so many clients in his practice who are these folks who are non-binary and have different kinds of pronouns. So he knows about it firsthand. I don't. Maybe it's that I live in Seattle, although Seattle has plenty, but in terms of my particular practice, there are plenty of people in Seattle who are quite progressive and have different sexual identities, but I just don't have them in my practice. That's all.
Right, right.
But Hernando does, and so I'm. Thank you. That gives me a heads up about Hernando.
So we talked about sex before and during. What about talking about sex after you've just made love? What do you think about that?
I think it's very important, and I think that sexual behavior after sex, particularly in one's single life, if you have a new partner and the partner seems to not be able to stay there and talk and is so eager to just get out and take a shower or whatever, that usually indicates some conflict about intimacy. So the aftercare and post-coital talk is really important because it's pillow talk, and you can stroke each other and go over what just happened. And wasn't that just incredibly, incredibly wonderful and intimate? And I felt kind of merging with you, and there was no fear. There was only pleasure. So after talk is pretty important. What do you have to say about it, Dr. Ava?
I think so too. And apart from telling each other how much you enjoyed, you know, making love, the more specific you are, the more likely your partner is going to do to you what you told them you really enjoyed. So if you said, "I really got turned on when we had sex in doggy style," I can guarantee you, you're going to have, doggy style is going to be the first sexual position the next time you make love. But there's something else that you can do, during pillow talk. And that is to create sexual anticipation for the next time.
Oh, that's a very good, create sexual anticipation. And the things, and you kind of review the things that you really liked and that really worked, And so then that does create sexual anticipation for the next time you're together. Plus, we all like to be complimented, don't we? And so, you know, so many couples fail to give each other compliments, and they start taking each other for granted. And I can't tell you how many, over the 35 years I've been doing this work, how many women say, oh, I need more emotional foreplay. And that means, say, you know, talking about the partner and what you love about the partner. Emotional foreplay and expressing what things the partner has done for you that you have a lot of gratitude around. So after talk is pretty important.
It is, it is. And this is also a very good opportunity to, after you review, you know, what you liked, talk about something new that you would like to do together and introduce sex toys or power play. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. A lot of people have sex toys are so much more popular now than, even 10 years ago, wouldn't you say? I mean, you're quite involved with sex toys, and you've sent me free toys, which is really nice after, like, the panel. You're very generous with your panel members. But toys can make such a difference. You talked a little bit ago about it, with a sex toy, you might have simultaneous orgasm, and I think that's really nice, but I don't think that it should be the goal, because it if you take turns, usually the woman comes first, like Ian Kerner's book 12 years ago was She Comes First. So if you take turns, maybe the guy gives his woman an orgasm through cunnilingus, through going down on her, oral sex, and then she does come first. I just think that taking turns is perhaps better than relying on, you know, mutual orgasm, which can occur with 69 position. But again, that's kind of busy. A lot of people describe that as just a little too busy, too much going on. You can't really focus in on how the pleasure feels to receive it. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I do. Yeah, and, you know, sometimes your partner's not going to be on the same page as you sexually. And that's where you can either accept it or negotiate it or not accept it. And it's really important to know how to do all three of those. So how would you tell a couple to communicate, let's say it's a boundary, and let's call it something simple, like a sex toy. You know, let's say that a lady wants to use a sex toy on her clitoris during intercourse because she has to have clitoral stimulation. And the guy is threatened by sex toys and just says, I can't handle that. That's going to make me lose my erection. So what do you think would be good communication for those two?
Well, the first thing that the woman should say is, I love nothing's better than your penis or your mouth or your body. Nothing feels better. But this sex toy, I know from my own self-pleasuring that I can have an orgasm pretty easily, and it's a great way to warm me up. And I would like for you to think, my darling lover man, that a sex toy doesn't have to be a competitor, even though the sex toy can go about 300 RPMs faster than your tongue or your penis. It can be, if you think about it, my lover, it can be your friend, because the sex toy won't get tired, and I will have orgasms, which will get me even hotter, and then some very creative, skilled men, and I can include my darling husband Brian in this, He's learned to combine using a sex toy on me, vibrating, with some of his own licks or touches. So he can combine the two, putting the sex toy on me and then stimulating me with his self, whatever form that takes. And that can be mind-blowing. So I think men should make friends with sex toys, but the woman needs to reassure him that there's nothing better than his live penis, if they're using the dildo inside of her, or vibrating her. You know, we need to remember that the clitoris has 6,000 to 8,000 nerve fibers, and its only purpose is pleasure. The clit's only purpose is for pleasure. And so the guy really needs to get real familiar with a clitoris, I think. And it would be wonderful in terms of show and tell. I think if the woman has enough, if she has enough courage or presence, she can show him how she likes to use the vibrator on herself, the sex toy on herself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a big step for a lot of couples, because masturbation is normally so private. But once they can do this, it's not only educational to watch how your partner, and it can be reversed too, where the woman watches her man masturbate. It's educational, and it's a turn on too to watch your partner reach orgasm or just get excited with their own, because they know their bodies best, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then fantasies is something people have a lot of trouble communicating. They're so afraid that their fantasy is not the same as their lover's fantasy. So I've come across people, you know, literally fearing not only rejection, but ridicule. So I think it's important to be able to share some of your fantasies, not necessarily all of your fantasies. You know, I think that having a fantasy inside your mind is a very safe place. And some people do need to fantasize about other people when they're having sex with their partner or spouse. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're not being unfaithful just because you're fantasizing about George Clooney, you know, or Angelina Jolie. I don't think that's a problem, but some people obviously do. What do you think?
You mentioned George Clooney, and I immediately perked up because he happens to be my birthday mate. We were both born on May 6th. And so I've always had a crush on him, along with, you know, millions of other women. George Clooney, yes. There are no fantasy police. That it's not illegal for you to have a fantasy. And I think that if it helps you get there, keep it private, especially if you're fantasizing about people other than your lover. And you may need that to get a jump start on your excitement. But I don't think it necessarily needs to be shared unless you sit down and you decide you're going to share some fantasies with your partner. And Ava, you have a wonderful little 3x5 card thing, yes, no, maybe, to talk about that, because that's a great exercise for couples to do, to maybe play out some fantasies.
I mean, I think that's why I think everything's negotiable. And I have fantasy cards that I give my clients, and not only does it have, you know, dozens of fantasies to both men and women, it even has what to say and what props to bring to make your fantasies come true. So it's very playful. And I think that's really important when it comes to intimate communication, is to not take it too seriously, but to make it playful and fun. Because, you know, I'm sure you've seen in movies and on TV, when a woman says, "We need to talk," the man runs the other way. So
yes,
it's, you know, it's one of those things. But I think sharing your fantasy and saying it would really turn me on if you did a lap dance for me, and that from any gender, can be very exciting. And it's something, you know, that's very visual, obviously. You want to watch your partner undress themselves in front of you and move their body sensually and probably have music playing that obviously turns them on. So that's a really playful, common, fun fantasy to watch your partner undress. And then maybe they'll undress you at the same time. So I do agree with you that not all fantasies need to be shared, especially if they're going to hurt somebody's feelings.
Exactly,
but I also have another game that I recommend, and that's to write all your fantasies down on 3x5 cards and then put them into at least two different piles. One pile is fantasies that you both want to turn into reality, and then the other pile is fantasies you just want to talk about during sex. Like having a threesome doesn't work for everybody, but it can enhance the sexual, you know, experience by pretending there's another person there and describing what they're doing to you and to your lover.
That can be extremely hot.
Yeah.
It really can. The words. But again, some guys who have a lot of trouble expressing their emotions, they may need to have sex for them to open up. They may need to feel more intimacy, closer. You know, you want to have some kind, if it's a new partner, you want to have some kind of communication, obviously, because you're new partners. But there are some men that just have so many roadblocks and fears, or just they're ignorant about how to talk. So they may need to have sex in order to open up when some of their psychological barriers go down, because they feel kind of closer then to their lover.
Yes, absolutely. And some of those people could benefit from some therapy with somebody like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. That's right. So in general, I would like to say that the next time that a person is feeling disconnected from their partner, it's really good to speak to him or her rather than seeking the comfort somewhere else. One reason we have a lot of affairs going on, even during the pandemic, I think they slowed down a little bit, but some people just, you know, they just can't do it with their partner, so they go on to somebody else. But just the act of talking, this is really important, just the act of talking will start to reconnect you. Mm-hmm. But you may need to set the scene for it. So that's really important in communication. Talking, and I was actually talking about this theme for today's show, as I often describe what's going to go on before the show, and Brian, my husband, acts as a consultant, and he said, be sure and say how important it is to talk and touch. Important to talk and touch at the same time.
That's why
giving your partner a massage before sex can really help relax the person, and then they may be more likely to communicate well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then even giving them a loving massage after sex can be so nurturing, and it can really seal that intimate bond.
That's really true. I like that, before or after. Yep.
Yeah.
Before or after.
I have a game that I play with my partner. It's a massage game, and it's where we sit face to face on the bed, and we choose one area that we want massage for 2 minutes. And it makes us laugh, it makes us horny, it gives us great communication, and it's just really fun and nurturing. So, you know, I want a foot massage for 2 minutes. And then, you know, he can say, you know, I want to a scalp massage for 2 minutes. And then it gets naughtier and naughtier, and we go through all the erogenous zones. And before we know it, we've been massaging each other for 2 hours. But the great thing is, each body part only gets 2 minutes. So it's
oh, I love this.
Exciting.
This is great, Ava.
Thank you.
So you break it down, different body parts, but just for 2 minutes. And then
yeah,
then you will have covered your whole body, the whole landscape of your body.
yeah, absolutely. So that,
and you have an opportunity to talk during that, to talk some. I think if too much talk sometimes takes away from really experiencing the actual touch and how deep it is, or how it's exciting for you, or whatever. I think sometimes too much talk during the act can take away from it, unless the person, and this isn't true for your massage game, but in general, if a person is feeling pain or discomfort during sexual activity, then they need to speak up for sure, and not just endure it.
And you're absolutely right. And then that triggers something in my mind. You know, people who specialize in bondage, domination, sadomasochism, they have safe words. And usually they are the color of the traffic light. So red means stop, and green means go, and orange means maybe. And so the problem is that a lot of people use the word stop as go. You know, they'll say, oh, stop, 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 but they don't really mean it. So I think, you know, it is important if you do suffer from any kind of discomfort or pain, or you're still healing from trauma, to talk about that to your partner and let them know, when I say stop, I mean it. Or when I say red, that means stop immediately. So that's good communication right there. And it's an aspect that's very, very important, so that we can understand each other's boundaries and deal breakers.
Yes, boundaries and deal breakers. And I have in my files a scientific study that took place, I'm thinking maybe 7 years ago. And it found that those in the BDSM community were actually the best communicators, because they had to have these talks about the boundaries and what they were going to do or not do, and what beforehand, very clear discussions. And so that helped the researchers say that the BDSM people were actually more healthy than some people think they are. That they have a lot of wonderful kinds of activities to do that are fun, and they're clear, clear, clear communicators. And they can use lots of phrases that will share their sexual turn-ons and turn-offs, like, what really turns me on is, what moves me to orgasm is, what brings me to the most intense orgasm is, something that you could do that really turns me on and would get me really in the mood for sex is, and then the opposite, something, if you're having this discussion, things that are turnoffs for me. One of my sexual secrets is, and I don't really want to be touched there because of the secret, or something, but you're getting very specific.
Right, right.
And it's really considered good communication.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't need to say why. You don't want to be touched in a specific area. And other times you might want to say why. Again, that has a lot to do with your partner, also the left or right brain hemisphere being most prominent. But basically, if you say, don't touch me there, it's uncomfortable or it hurts, then the other partner should cease touching that part of the body. It's very important. And if they don't respect your boundaries, then you just have to stop and say, this is a deal breaker for me. I'm not
That's right.
feeling comfortable with you. Yeah, so I read an article that was published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships that found the more comfortable we are talking about sex, the more satisfactory our sex lives will become. And I know for you that's no surprise, but I think
no surprise.
People who are listening to this show to just try to start talking about sex, you know, before you mm-hmm. have it, while you have it, and after you have it in the most positive way possible.
And sometimes that will involve showing the body language.
Yes.
Showing mm-hmm. as you're talking. So, and I think sometimes giving your partner feedback during something. You mentioned kissing a while ago, and we're both believers in the power of good kissing and slowing down. And maybe giving, you know, let me kiss you the way that I want you to kiss me. And sometimes that'll be not the tongue down the throat immediately before the woman is aroused, but using soft lips and just a little bit of tongue. Mm-hmm. But maybe she's the one who gets to say when she's ready for some tongue action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So giving your partner specific feedback when you're in the midst of things, but again, not too much.
right.
But some.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So I wanted to just say, you know, as sort of an ending, because we'll get the music soon and it'll be the end of the show. But I really, truly believe this, Ava, that we all have the potential to be sexually free and to satisfy ourselves and our partners and even to reach the pinnacles of sexual joy. So we all have that potential, but we've got the secret is to talk. It's to talk. And I hope people will tune in to, that's the music, tune in to your panel. I will put in my, tell us the how they might hear you, but I'll put it in my sex notes, my show notes.
The sex panel will be on loveuniv.com. That's my Loveology University page. It'll also be live on Facebook. Loveology Seekers is the group on Facebook, and it'll be on YouTube. It's called the Sexpert Panel.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Ava. Another wonderful show. I appreciate and love you so much.
Right back to you, Dr. Diana. Stay sexy.
Yeah, stay sexy. That's a good line to end with. Stay sexy, everybody.
Telefonerai, probabilmente a me tuo schiavo d'amore.